organized to fulfill what? The purpose of the church. Amen? My topic is, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? Praise the Lord. Let us look at the purpose of the church, like I said, the local church. Matthew 28:18-20. It's something that we all know, a scripture that we all know. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? We're beginning to see the purpose of the local church. They have a mandate from the Lord to go and do what? And make disciples. You have go, you have make disciples, you have to baptize them, teach these new disciples, teach them what to obey. Praise the Lord. Now the Sunday school, where does it come in? How does the church fulfill this mandate? Through the Sunday school. So now I'm going to talk about just this aspect of the Sunday school. Just one of its main objectives. We're going to take the church, we now take the Sunday school, takes the purpose of the church and makes it its own purpose. Praise the Lord. The purpose of the Sunday school becomes an outreach. But then, before you begin to, it says, go. Before we, and then make disciples, we need to go out. And I'm glad that today we have a lot of people here. It's like somebody went out and did something and do what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out there. You bring them in. You have to go out before you can reach them, isn't it? That's where we should wake up in this church, to go out the more and get these people in so they can hear, get baptized, make disciples of. Praise the Lord. So the Sunday school begins to do what? To actualize or to fulfill the mandate of the Great Commission. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We make disciples. That's what we do here. When you go from class to class, you're taught at the end of it, you also go out and begin to do what? Teach others. We teach them. We baptize them. When it comes to a stage, when you've gone through, like my brother was sharing this morning, after your first class, when you've learned a lot, I would say everything about salvation, then you now move on to the next class, which is the baptismal class, and then you get baptized. So we're following the mandate of the Great Commission in this church. We now baptize you. Hallelujah. And then as you go on from one class to the other, you're getting discipled. We teach you to obey. To obey what? It says, everything that I have told you, I've commanded you. Praise the Lord. So the Sunday school begins to do what? To take this mandate and run. So the mandate of the church becomes the mandate of the Sunday school. And we run with it. And that's how the Sunday school fulfills what? The Great Commission, the mandate given to the church. Amen. It's through the Sunday school that this ministry can fulfill what Christ has called it to do. Now, we must really attend Sunday school. After you've heard what I'm saying and what our brother said this morning and the things we saw, we really have need to attend Sunday schools. It's a small group thing. This is where you stay in small groups. You can learn more. You know, when you're in school, you get together and do your group studies, right? And believe me, students learn more when they have group studies because you can speak the language of the other students. When the teacher is there, he's probably shooting above your head. But as a student that grasps it, when you come together in group learning, group study, what happens? This student now takes it and begins to do what? Interpret it the way you can understand. She begins to speak your language. She's no longer shooting above your head. That's what happens in Sunday school classes. We have small groups where you interact with the teacher. If you don't understand anything, you can't ask me from the pulpit when the pastor is doing Bible study or teaching or preaching. What does that mean? Why did Jesus say that? But in your Sunday school classes, that's where you have the what? You have the ability, you have the chance, you have the right to say, teacher, stop here. Please, can you explain this? And other students will also help. Praise the Lord. It's a small group thing, Sunday school. Amen? It's a small group. That help. Let us look at Acts 2:42. He says, and they continued steadfastly. Okay. He says, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and in sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. All the believers, all of us, when we come together in our little, you know, we begin to study the Word of God, the apostles' teaching. We're fellowshipping with the Word of God. We're fellowshipping with each other. Praise the Lord. And it's a small group. You understand each other better. Praise the Lord. And what are you studying? The Lord's teaching. The teachings of the apostles. That's one reason why you need to come. You don't need to be found absent here. We need to fellowship with one another. And then when you get together like this, you begin to know each other. You don't know the name of everybody in the church, but you know the name of the ones in your class. We get to know each other's names. We get to know their family members. We get to know them, their occupation. Know them in a familiar way. Praise the Lord. That is, you get strength from this little group studies, fellowship, Sunday school classes. It increases the bond that you have with each other. I see what, you know, last time, I have to call names. My beloved sister, Chinoyoko, just said, Mommy, please come, I have a message for you. For my students, that's my son-in-law. I said, okay. She said, we've not seen him. We had this, we had that. So we're reaching out to him with this gift. Suffer my son-in-law. He enjoyed it, the benefit of the Sunday school. See what I'm saying? Now she's reaching out because she knows that something happened. Something is going on in that family. We need to reach out and rejoice with them. If it were sorrow, you will also reach out and you mourn with them. This was the advantage of being in these little groups. Amen. It established the total involvement in the local church. And then again, for convenience sake, you know, when you come to Sunday school, you have a lot of activities in this country. You take your son to the football, to the basketball, to this one. You do homework, you do that one. All these activities do what? Take away from the time you have with your children. You need to bring them. But when you come in on Sunday, the child sits in their class, they are being taught, and you sit in your own class, and you are being taught. It's so convenient. You don't have to come back another day to study Sunday school. You do it right there, either an hour before service or an hour after. It's so, so, you know, it's so convenient for you. Praise the Lord. And then another benefit, you know, when we come to Sunday school, the classes are organized, specific age grouping. We group them according to age. Let's see Deuteronomy 31, 12 to 13. Deuteronomy 31, I'll read. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So when you come together like this, specific age grouping, you are doing your thing, your kids are doing their own things. When I go into that class then, Pastor Kemi, we thank God for her. You see those little ones, the babies, they are crying. That's how they worship their own God. They are crying, but they understand. By the time you start singing, they start clapping. These are little ones, below one. They start clapping. And then the other ones are beginning to do songs, acting out Bible story. When you go to their classes, you enjoy it. They are doing their door-to-door pictures, having fun, singing songs. Praise God. I like the way when I saw my daughter, Chineye, trying to raise this girl, you know, my little bundle of joy, my granddaughter with her husband, Soporo. She's there singing. And then, you know, I believe that Chimamanda understands. Because even when she's, you know, cranky and she starts singing that song, and I see her, it's like she's listening. She begins to say, Jesus loves you, this I know. I see her like she's following her singing that song. And I say, Nne, what you're doing, the both of you, is right, it's correct. You're on the right path. These kids, they begin here, you know, to sing that song in their room. They begin to sing, read your Bible, pray every day, the little ones. And they're learning, praise the Lord. My head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. My head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. And they sing, they all belong to Jesus. Emphasis on the Lord. on the Word of God, on the Bible. Don't you like that for your kids? But you need to bring them to Sunday school. That's why you need to attend Sunday school with your children. Don't leave them at home and say, I'm running late. You're not the only one that has to come to Sunday school. They have to come. From an early age, you capture them. Praise the Lord. And get them indoctrinated in the right doctrine. Amen? That's what we do here, Four Square Gospel Church, Orange. And for Four Square Gospel Church, we believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If it's not in the Bible, forget Four Square. Praise the Lord. So our curriculum is fantastic. Praise the Lord. Our lessons, you know, we teach, you know, what we teach is content valid. Amen. We have a curriculum that suits every age. Every age. We have a curriculum. And they have teachers that are designed, that are trained to handle every class. My sister Dorothy Okeke, who can be best in handling those little kids. She understands their gestures, their language. She's an awesome educator. Praise the Lord. So we have things like that. Each of them have trainers that are specifically prepared for each of these classes. And it makes a better, you know, understanding, effectiveness in training. Praise the Lord. When you bring your child to Sunday school, you're gaining a lot. Amen. Our literatures are awesome in the language your kids can understand, in the language you can understand. Thank God for our senior pastors, Pastor Emmanuel and Pastor Dorothy, that work day and night, every day, to get the best for us. They try to move this, okay, let's look at this literature from this person. They go through it, they just like removing the chaff and giving us the cream. Praise the Lord. So we can eat and grow the food of the Spirit. Amen. Our structure is also fantastic. We have a systematic way of teaching the scriptures. Systematically. That's why you have, when you start, you have to go through Pastor Dorothy's class. I heard my brother explaining to you. If you're a first timer, a visitor in this school, in this class, in this church, first you go through our beloved Pastor Dorothy. We have her there because she's spiritually matured. So when you come half naked, she doesn't go, oh my God, what is this? No, this woman is calm, under the control of the Holy Spirit. She knows how to bring you along. So at the end of the day, you're singing with her how good Jesus is. So we have that class. Then from there, you move up. You go to what we call the beginner's class again, the new convert class. It is systematic. You begin to learn about salvation. And then you move up to what? The baptismal class. You begin to learn about water baptism is, and everything that, you know, goes along with water baptism. From there, you move on to a membership class that we call This We Believe. You begin to learn all about the 22 tenets of faith of the Four Square Church. Amen. See, step by step, systematically, we bring you the Word of God. Amen. This is the Sunday school I'm talking about. You don't want to miss any part of it. Amen. And at the end, you become a worker. The workers in training. This is where you learn all the ministries in this church. You get to, they train you. That is why, what's it, Obomudia? That's his name. Before he died, he said, you know, any Four Square Sunday school teacher is good enough to be my pastor. That's what he said. We have the best. Amen. Yesterday when we went to this, where the district conference, missions conference. Guess what? The man they had, you know, in there was talking to us. He came, you know, about how he's now with the what's the name of this church? The Baptist church. He went there for something else, but how they took him, you know, to begin to be a pastor in the Baptist church because they loved what they saw. They loved it. So the Baptist just commandeered him to be a pastor in that church. And at the end of it, they are now pleading to us, if you have more of these people, we need more teachers, more pastors from Four Square. Amen? Because we have, you know, grounded Sunday school. Our word, we have undiluted word of God. Amen. You cannot afford to miss a Sunday school in this church. So it encourages us spiritually. You have an interaction, spiritual interaction with your teachers. With the word of God, you're there interacting with them. You're growing. You know, Ephesians 4:11, he says, his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, messengers, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. The Holy Spirit also made provision for teachers And what is the purpose of this? To what intent? What is the intention of the Holy Spirit for giving you teachers in the church? Ephesians 4, 11 to 15. Let's go from 12. I already read 11. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to the same unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed about and blown about by every wind of new teaching, every wind of doctrine, like our beloved pastor, senior pastor, was saying this morning, Pastor Dorothy. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, growing to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you start here. By the time you've gone through all these classes, and you keep coming to Bible study, and you're hearing the word of God, Obomedia say you're good to go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he also, in Sunday school, we prepare and train brethren for leadership. By the time you go through all these Sunday school classes, and you become a leader, and you begin to grow in your skills, you develop your skills as a leader in the church. And I don't know, between the teacher and the students, who benefits more? Because the day I stopped teaching, I knew I stopped growing. I said, I have to do something, praise the Lord. So when you're teaching, you're benefiting. The students are also benefiting. That's it. This whole thing is so awesome. Both the teacher and the students are doing what, being blessed at the same time. Praise the Lord. So we can go on and on why you need to come to Sunday school, the importance of it. And then we care. It's a kind of caring group. If somebody is sick, now the pastor doesn't know everybody here, 500 of us. How would he know? But in your that particular class, a nucleus team, they reach out. They say, Pastor, this so-and-so is sick. We've called them. We've sent them some fruits. We've done this. We've ministered to them. That way you're helping the pastor out. Praise the Lord. You're helping him out. It's a caring group. By the time our senior pastor, Pastor Dorothy, knows something, maybe some women have already visited this person in my class. That's what happened to Chinoye and my son-in-law. Praise the Lord. So it's a kind of caring group. People get to know you. When you're passing through stuff, they know. They rejoice with you. They take care of you. Before the pastor can get you, they've already gotten to you. You need to belong to a Sunday school class. Praise and enjoy this caring that we're talking about. Amen. It's a place of knowledge. Every day, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. Feed my sheep. How many times? 3 times. Feed my sheep. We show love. That's what the teachers do, as they bring the word of God to you. It's a kind of loving you, loving the Lord, and doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Feed my sheep. And you grow more and more in your knowledge of God. Amen. So in conclusion, Sunday school is awesome. We need to come to Sunday school every Sunday. Bring your children. Invite your friends. It's an enlargement. It's the arm of the church that all awesome. Honestly, they are really, really involved in enlarging the church. When you come, invite your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring your colleagues at work to come to Sunday school. Not only on Sunday school rally days. Amen. As you do that, what is happening? The work of God is being done. The mandate, the great commission is being fulfilled through the Sunday school. Amen. Praise the Lord. Having said all this, like I said, my topic is, what do you have? What is in your heart? So we're going to read Mark 4. It's a long one. Mark 4. It's not up there. Okay. Again, praise the Lord. So I'll just take it bit by bit because we need to really, really hurry. So let me look at verses from 13 to 20. I don't know how to do this. Okay, let's just read. Again, Jesus, praise the Lord, 13. Can I have the one back, please? The verse one back. So I don't get too rushy and miss the whole thing. Let's have the verse one back. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd gathered about him so that he got into a ship in order to sit in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. And he taught them many things in parables, illustrations, or comparisons put beside truths to explain them. And in his teaching, Okay, number three, he said, give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed of the same kind fell on the ground full of frogs, where it had not much soil. And at once it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And then number six, and when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind, know that of the same kind, fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into the ground, well adapted soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielded up to 30 times as much, and 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sown. Just hold it there. Praise the Lord. So he says the sower, we saw this, Jesus. Jesus was there. Pardon me. Okay, he says Jesus, that was the sower there. The parable of the sower. So this, he said, the first one fell what? By the roadside. And by the roadside, what happened? He says it was a hardened place. People have treaded that, you know, on that path for so long. A path that people have been treading is so hard that when the seed fell on it, what happened to the seed? It didn't even go in. It just sat on top of the soil. Soil that was hardened. Hardened soil. And then the birds came and did what? Took away the seed. Praise the Lord. Then I begin to ask us, how do you, the sower is who? The sower could be you today. It could be me as I'm preaching. It could be you as you speak the word. It could be somebody who is witnessing. It could be the teacher in your Sunday school teaching you. He sows what? The word. And the word is what? The word of God. Praise the Lord. That's what he's sowing. The seed. The incorruptible seed. According to the book of Peter, it says this word is incorruptible. The seed of the word of God is incorruptible. So the sower sows the word of God. And some of them fell what? On a hard ground. What is the nature of your heart? Because it says that the soil itself represents the heart of man. If it falls on hard soil, it means it also fell on hard heart. Hearts that have been hardened. Hardened. The seed fell on it. It says it brought nothing up. But then what's interesting, it says, pay attention. Why must you pay attention? It is very, very critical that you pay attention. He says, do you even understand this parable? How would you understand the meaning of this parable? If you don't understand the meaning of this particular parable, you need to understand the meaning of this one. If you don't get this one, you can't get the rest of them. So making this one the most important one. Until you get an understanding of this parable of the sower, how the word of God works, that is a seed that you have to sow, and the rest of them, nothing will work out for you. If that is how it works, that is how it works. Praise the Lord. You just have to go along with it. Failing to follow it that way, you do not need any results. Amen. So this hard ground represents a closed mind. These closed mind people, it says, have a concrete heart, concrete soil. The seed cannot penetrate. They don't understand. So the devil steals the word. When the word falls on soils like that, on a heart that is hardened, the devil steals the word. Praise the Lord. And then why does the devil steal? He says, because you don't understand it. And I'm looking for a translation. It says, this heart is not prepared. It's unprepared to receive the word of God. The word cannot penetrate that soil because it is very, very hard. It cannot even penetrate. So talking much more, germinate or bear fruit. Let us look at Matthew 13:12. Matthew 13:12 says, for whoever has spiritual wisdom because it's receptive or accessible to God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom, because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. How do you get the understanding? By being receptive. As you're listening to me, as you come into Sunday school class, as you come for Bible study, as you hear the word of God, are you receptive? Are you ready? Are you willing to receive that word? Do you have a teachable spirit? That's what it's saying. When you come fully prepared, receptive to hear that word, to receive the word of God, and not reject it, what will happen to you? He says, this same person, you're not devaluing the word of God. What will happen? He says, you will be richly and abundantly supplied. You'll be given what? Understanding, spiritual wisdom, and more of it. Praise the Lord. The words you're hearing, they will produce fruit for you. You cannot let Satan to steal the word of God, because you're coming with a heart that is not prepared, a hard heart. You're coming with what? Unreceptive heart. But it doesn't mean that sometimes when the word of God comes, the devil will steal the word of God. So, when you receive something, I don't want to give a testimony unless the devil hears me. People do that. I'm not going to give a testimony. The walls have ears. The world, and then that's, some people do that. I'm not giving this testimony. The walls have ears. I think the devil will hear you and attack you. It's not like that. When the word of God comes, yes, the devil will come to steal it. But guess what? There is hope. You have to resist the devil. You have to do, let me read Hebrews 10:32. It says, but remember the earlier days when after being spiritually enlightened, you patiently endured a great conflict of sufferings. Remember what? The earlier days when after being spiritually enlightened, you patiently endured a great conflict of sufferings. When you receive the word of God, know that that thing will come. Suffering will come. Conflict will come. The devil is trying to set you up so he can steal the word from you. But here he says to do what? Remember. And what do you do? Be patient. Endure. So that at the end of it, you will bear fruit. Do not let the devil to steal the word. You need to resist him by your endurance and your patience. Amen. He talks about the stony ground, the stony heart. He says the seed that fell on that stony heart, when the sun came up, the plant was scorched. And because of that, it had no root. It dried up and withered. So, and then verse 16 says, in a similar way, these in the second group are the ones on whom the seed was sown, that rocky ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy and accept it only superficially, and they have no real roots in themselves. So they endure only a little while. Then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they are offended and displeased, being associated with me, and stumble and fall away. Praise the Lord. These ones are emotional people. They give an emotional response. They say, wow, this preaching was awesome. It is so, so awesome. What did the pastor say? They don't even remember. But it was awesome. Okay, what do you hear what the pastor said about so and so? I don't know, I think he said it too, but the thing was awesome, I just don't remember. See, they are emotional. You can see, it says, immediately they receive the word with joy and gladly accept it, but it is done only superficially. And then when that affliction comes, what happens? They get offended. He said, I must be here because I came by 8. Now I have to be coming by. Why would he talk to me like that? Because I said I'm going to take medication. That doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian because I'm sick. Affliction comes because of the word you're hearing. They get offended. Praise the Lord. The man of God might be here preaching. They're not listening because I said something that is contrary to what they believe and what they want to hear. We have to be careful. Praise the Lord. To do or receive that word, not only with gladness, not only receive it fast, also receive, accept the word you received, and also endure. Know that the affliction will come once the word comes. And be ready to do what? To resist and not take offense. Praise the Lord. And not fall away. The Bible warns us about falling away. I will get there. Praise the Lord. We can't afford to fall away. Let's look at Hebrews 2:1. It says, for this reason, that is because of God's final revelation in his Son, Jesus, and because of Jesus' superiority to angels, we must pay closer attention than ever before to things that we have heard, so that we do not in any way drift away from the truth. Praise the Lord. You must, like he told us earlier, pay closer attention to the things you have heard preached about your health, about your finances, about that son, about that wife, about your relationship. Pay close attention to what has been preached. And how do you pay close attention? You go over it. You read it. You study. You meditate. What is God saying? Praise the Lord. It says, and as you do that, so that you will not drift away. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that thing will not, you know, affliction will not. It will come. But you need to pay close attention to what you have, so that you will not drift away. The Bible already warned us. So you might drift away because affliction came because of the word you heard. Praise God. But you need to pay close attention so that you don't drift away. Some word fell, some of the seed fell on it, on a thorny ground, a ground that was full of thorns. And the thorns grew up with the seed and choked the life out of that seed. Praise the Lord. Let me read Mark 4, verse 18 to 19. Mark 4, it says, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the cravings and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Sometimes that's what the devil does to people. Praise God. He uses again. You come to Sunday school. You come to Bible study. The teachers I'm talking now. Some people are thinking about so many things. All their cares, all their worries, all their anxieties. Their minds are everywhere, 6 and 7. They are not receiving that word because they are flying everywhere in their mind, thinking about how much more money do I have to pay to register for my course? How much more do I have to pay to get this my house? How much? Their minds are everywhere. Praise the Lord. And then all this has become a thorn. And what do they do? The word you've heard will not bear fruit. You know why? Even though it germinated, somehow what will happen? The weed, the thorns will also grow with that word and choke it from there. And it will bear no fruit. Amen. So we need to be careful when we come to Sunday school, to Bible study, to listen to the word of God. To be careful, pay attention, close attention. So make sure that there's no thorns that will choke out the word that you're receiving that day. Praise the Lord. And then some seed, verse 20. Some of the seed fell onto good ground. Onto good ground. Okay. Says, and other seed of the same kind. You know what? It is the same seed, though. The problem is not with the seed, it's with your heart. Other seed of the same kind, this same seed, fell on a good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielded up to 30 times as much, and 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sown. Praise the Lord. These are the ones that have been sown in good ground. The word of God that you receive in a heart that is prepared. You receive it, you accept it, you welcome it. What does it do? It bears fruit. It bears fruit. Amen? So, how do you get this word to work for you? Like I said, you have to receive the word. You have to accept the word of God. You don't have to devalue the word of God. Just receive the word of God. And when you do that, what happens? Let us look at Mark 4, 23 to 25. So now, as you take time to do all these things, Mark 4:23 says, I'm praying to get 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, That is to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. For whosoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given, and whoever does not have a yearning for the truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. So when you receive the word of God, when you come with a teachable heart, you're not devaluing the word of God. You don't have thorns in your heart, but you're accepting that word. What happens? He says, you will be given more, will be given to you. You don't take it yourself. That's a revelation. There's no way you can get that revelation, yourself. It will be given to you. But he says you have to put time into it. Praise the Lord. Give time to study that word, to listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what the pastor is saying. Listen to what your teacher is saying. When you do that, he says, you will be given what? Ability, great ability to respond, and even more besides. Praise the Lord. So, like I said earlier, the sower is the one that sows the word of God, as I'm doing now. Could be your teacher. It can be anybody that is speaking the word. It can also be you. So how do you sow that word? As the word of God is coming for me now, you're hearing it, right? You're sowing it in your heart. If you're speaking it yourself, it has to be a speaking. Once somebody is speaking, somebody is hearing, they are sowing the word in their heart. Praise the Lord. And then, like I said earlier, to understand this parable is key to understanding everything, every other parable that God has given. Jesus has taught the people. Teach us how the word of God is going to produce for you. And like I'm saying today, when you wonder, are you bearing fruit or not, go back to this parable of the sower and begin to check it. You fall into one of those four groups. If you're not bearing fruit, go back and check what is happening to me, because the word of God cannot lie. There are four different types of soils there. Which one, where do you belong? The first group, the wayside. Do you belong to the second group, hardened heart? Do you belong to the third group, where you have thorns? Or to the fourth group, the good soil? If you want to bear fruit, go back and begin to check what you're not doing right. By the time you go to those four soil types, the four heart types, you begin to know where your mistake is coming from. Praise the Lord. The problem is not the seed. The word of God will always produce. Amen. And as I'm saying that some of us are receiving the word, there are so many ways you can react. Some will receive the word. Some will reject the word. Some of us will scorn it. There are so many ways you can treat the word as it's coming. But I'm begging you, whenever the word of God comes from the pulpit, whether it's Sunday school, Bible study, whatever, wherever you're hearing the word of God, it's very important that you listen, give attention. Do not reject the word of God. Receive the word of God. So how does the word bear fruit? Now you've sown the word. When you hear the word of God, you're sowing it. You really have to sow a seed, isn't it? If you have a bag of beans in your house and you take some few of them, a cup of beans, you go and plant it. In farming season, somebody plants. Farmers go and they cultivate their land and they plant, right? And if those that do not go out to the farm and plant, during time of harvest, what do? They have to stay home. There's no harvest. Praise the Lord. You can't just, because Igbo Abe says, Akajaja, but along what? Man on man. If you don't sow the seed, you cannot have a harvest. The same thing works with spiritual things. The word of God, you must sow the word of God as a seed. As you hear it, you sow it in your heart before it can ever bear fruit. Amen. Because as long as the earth remains, the Bible says there will be harvest, there will be seed time, and there will be harvest time. You must sow the seed. And the Bible also says again, except, let's see, John 12:24. If you do not sow the word of God, do not expect any harvest. He says, I assure you, I most certainly will say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, just one grain, never more. But if it dies, it produces much grain and yields a harvest. If you want to have a harvest, If you want to have a harvest, is it your healing? Is it finances? Whatever it is, begin to take the scripture, appropriate scripture, and sow it. Listen to tapes. Listen to the man of God when he preaches. Listen then the Sunday school. Listen and listen. Study the word of God. And as long as you're listening, you're sowing that word in your heart, you're believing it, it must bear fruit. Amen. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. You know, it's possible to be listening to the wrong thing. And when you're listening to the wrong, that's why you have to do what? Watch your heart jealously. Because when you listen to the wrong thing, you're sowing the wrong seed in your heart. The Bible talks about what? Two types. The word of God, it says it is a word, incorruptible. Make sure it's the one you're sowing. When you sow the corruptible one, it's going to produce everything negative. Praise the Lord. So when you listen to the word of God every day, not your music, not the wrong teaching, not what your ears are itching to hear, but you're listening to the undiluted word of God, the incorruptible word of God, that is what is going to produce results, your healing, your breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Praise the Lord. Then he says, for the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. When you begin to listen to all those crazy things, the music, the word, the wrong doctrine, say you're going to reap to yourself ruin. Praise the Lord. He says, but the one who sows to the Spirit, you're listening to the word of God, the undiluted word of God, incorruptible. You've sown it in your heart. As you're listening to it, and what will it produce for you? He says, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Amen. That's why you must guard your heart all the time. Praise the Lord. To make sure that you're hearing the right word of God. You're not listening to anything. That's how people imbibe wrong doctrines. And it's very difficult to do what? To come out of it. Look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Demons are also teaching. So what you're hearing, who is teaching it? Who is speaking to you? Praise the Lord. You need to listen to the incorruptible word of God. Make sure that you're listening to the right doctrine. Amen. Now, the devil wants to steal the word. Why does the devil want to steal the word? Lest you bear fruit, isn't it? Because at the end of it, when the seed was sown on the good ground, what have happened? It germinated and it also bore fruit. The harvest came. Praise the Lord. So let us look at some of the things that the devil wants to steal. Salvation. Romans 1:17 says, I'm proud of the good news. Because it is the power of God. It is the power God uses to save everyone who believes. To save the Jews first. And now to save those who are not Jews. Praise the Lord. When you receive the word of God. You know, when you receive it, you get born again, right? Because you heard the word. And that is the power of God. You need to hear that word for you to be born again. But if the devil steals it, and when the pastor is saying, if you know you've not given your life to Christ, please come up here. You're not coming. Somebody is trying to preach to you. You're not listening. Even when you listen, you don't want to hear. Hardness of heart. The devil will do what? Stop you from receiving what? Your salvation. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want you to hear that word. That's why he comes and quickly does what? Quickly, immediately steals it away from you. And then guess what? Luke 8:12 says, those beside the road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes the message of God away from their hearts so that they will not believe in me as the Messiah and be saved. Praise God. Then John 12, John 15, 2 and 6 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Praise the Lord. That is what is happening. If you abide in him, except you abide in him, and the devil does not want that word of God, the word of God abides in you, and the devil does not want that to happen. Praise the Lord. So what is at stake here? What does the devil want to take away? It is the word of God, so that your salvation will be at stake. Because without the word of God abiding and taking root in your heart, you cannot bear fruit. You cannot be disciples. You cannot even inherit the eternal life that we're talking about. Praise the Lord. So it matters a lot that you listen to the word of God and hear the word of God and receive the word of God. The devil, you know, salvation does not end in just, you know, just eternal life. Also, salvation includes, you know, like I said all the time, includes your prosperity, soundness, preservation, your health. All this is included in salvation. If the devil steals that word from you, that's it. Praise the Lord. How can you get that salvation? How can you get your healing? How will you be prospered? Because everything, you know, according to the word of God, every single promise, blessing that God has given to us, came through his promise. According to 2 Peter 1:3-4, they came through promises. Praise the Lord. When you look at Romans 8:11, say, but the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead is in me. And he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. This is a promise that your body is quickened. And when you speak to your body, you are quickened. My nerves, my bones, you are quickened. You're speaking the word of promise. If the devil steals it, there goes your healing. Praise the Lord. There's surely of a certainty. Christ has borne your sicknesses. Says Christ has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our griefs and sorrows, our sicknesses and our pains. These are the promises that the devil doesn't want you to do or to inherit. Amen. And so when the word of God is stolen, these things are gone. Praise the Lord. If Christ has gone to the cross, he has borne my sicknesses, he has borne my griefs, he has carried that sickness on his own body, it has been crucified on the cross of Calvary, then I will stand bold and say, Satan, you know what? Jesus has paid the price because he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. So shall I bear no griefs and carry no sorrow? So I disallow you from operating in this body. You begin to talk. When the devil steals this from you, that's it. Bata, bata. You have nothing else. He wants to steal the word. And then you come back and say, okay, because he has hung on that cross, there are many ways through which Christ would have died. But he hung on the cross so as to redeem me from the curse of the law. You begin to speak, body, whatever constitutes a curse, you will not operate in this body. Body, whatever constitutes a curse, will not operate in you. Because I'm the redeemed. He has redeemed me from whatever constitutes a curse. You stand on the word. If the devil steals that word from you, that is it. That's why he's fighting, to steal the word of God from you. Your faith is your victory. How does the faith come? From hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And this faith is your victory. The word of God is your victory. It is your victory. And the devil wants to seal it so that you do away with what? The victory. And go under defeat. Praise the word, the Lord. He said he sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all your destructions. If the devil steals that word, what will happen? No healing. Deliverance from destruction. None. Praise the Lord. So he's looking at to steal the word. That is just the ultimate. Once he steals the word from you, your victory is gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, that's good. So the devil steals the word that you know when it does not have root. He steals the word when the word does not have root, like we read in other passages. So you need to meditate on the word of God daily. So the word will do or take a deep root in you. Nobody can do that for you. It happens overnight. But you have to start somewhere. That little word of God, as you begin to do what? To dwell on it, to meditate. It grows and grows and grows. It takes a deep root in you. Praise the Lord. How can you stand? The word of God is you're standing because you know you're deeply rooted, right? If that root is small, a little thing that will perch on that tree will do what? It doesn't have roots, strong roots. It will just do what? Give way. But if the root, it is deeply rooted in you, you can stand anything. It will begin to bear fruit in abundance. Let us look at this scripture. Mark 4:30. It says, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, even though it is smaller than all the other seeds that are sown on the soil, yet when it is sown, when it is done what? Sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden herbs, and it puts out large branches so that the birds of the sky are able to make nests and live under its shade. You need to take time. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. To be able to get involved in the word of God. Daily studying the word of God. And let it be. It is your victory. It is your victory. Praise the Lord. You know, we saw the roots, right? In only one group of that, the seed, when the seed was planted on the good soil, it bear, you know, it had roots, right? And bore fruit. Okay, but the other three didn't have roots. And we're told that only one of them, only the devil came to steal only one of them, right? But do you know, in actual fact, the devil also was one in, you know, responsible for stealing the seed that was sown on the hard soil and on the thorny heart. It was also, even though the devil, it was not mentioned, but let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 5. To say that it's still the devil at work in you. Even though you've received the word, it has germinated, it has, you know, borne fruit in you. You know, so it's trying to bear fruit, it has germinated. The devil will find a way to bring all his wahala, the sufferings, everything, affliction, to bombard you so that you will do what? You will fall away. Praise the Lord. It is still the devil. That's why we need to resist the devil. Let us quickly look at 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 to 5. It says, and so we sent Timothy, our brother and God's servant, in spreading the good news of Christ to strengthen and encourage you, exhorting, comforting, and establishing you in regard to your faith, so that no one will be unsettled by these difficulties to which I have referred. For you know that we have been destined for this as something unavoidable in our position. For even when we are with you, we warned you plainly in advance that we are going to experience persecution. Another translation says problem, afflictions, temptations by the devil. And so, as you know, it was, you know, it has to come to pass. For this reason, when I could no longer endure the suspense, I sent someone to find out about your faith, how you were holding up under pressure, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our work among you would have been what? Ineffective. Meaning that our work would have been ineffective. Fruitless, isn't it? He says it is the devil, the tempter. Even when it comes to what? The ones that have been sown on that soil, the hard soil, that managed to do what? To germinate and to bear fruit. And to germinate there, the devil is watching to stop it from bearing fruit. He brings what? Afflictions and everything. From what we are seeing here, it is still the devil. That's why we need to resist the devil, to stand up and resist the devil, to stop him from taking away the word of God from us. Praise the Lord. It says immediately the thing was sown. The devil came and did what? He took it away. And the other one, as soon as temptation came, as soon as affliction came, immediately they took offense. They didn't bear fruit. Amen. The other one's thorns, immediately again, the thorns came up with the seed and choked the life out of those seeds. We need to resist the devil. Whether you belong to that first group that is a hard heart, so the birds just came and took it, the devil. I'm telling you, even the second group and the third group, it is still the devil from what we've just read now in 2 Thessalonians. Praise the Lord. We need to get up and do what? And resist the devil. So make sure that when you hear before you come to church, you prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to listen. Before you go to Sunday school, prepare yourself to listen. Immediately the seed was sown. The devil came. Praise God. You won't let that happen. Don't let distractions come in. Try to keep your mind focused on what is being taught in your Sunday school, in Bible study, as I'm preaching now. Again, we should try as much as possible not to get into this feeling of dislike, to dislike the preacher or the teacher, whoever is bringing the word of God, and hinders you from receiving the word of God and accepting it and making it to bear fruit in you. Praise the Lord. These are the various things that the devil uses to make you not to bear fruit. On that shallow soil, is talking about here. We need to resist the devil. Amen. Immediately, offense comes. You're going to stand against those offenses. And then, did you see that in the last one? It says prosperity. It says riches. The deceit of riches. The devil can get you thinking, I need to do 10 jobs. And when the pastor is talking, I need to go to my second job. You know, I can't even be here for this Sunday school. I can't be here for Bible study. I need to get that job. I need to get that contract. Deceitfulness of riches. To make you think that the time you're giving for this is worthless. You need to make the money. We need to be very, very sensitive in the spirit to know when the devil is playing his little games. Amen. So Satan and all his strategies, you know, to take the word of God from you, cause us to, you know, stay in a place of what? Action all the time to resist the devil. As we are told in James 4:7, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Amen. How do you do this? The only thing I know is that when you're coming to Sunday school, when you're going to Bible study, Life Center, you know we do the word. Women's meeting, you know we do the word. Right? Everywhere we're going to do the word of, hear the word of God. Get your heart prepared. The heart of your soil. As we're told in verse 20. It says that the good soil is the key to a fruitful doing what? Hearing of the word of God. Get your heart tuned up. Prepared. Pray about it. That you'll be in tune with what is happening. Praise the Lord. So when the word of God comes, you'll be able to receive that word. Receive it with joy. Accept the word of God and let it bear fruit in you. Prepare your heart with prayer. Be determined to listen and to get what God has prepared for you for that day. Amen. Try from today going forward to know that he can use hardness of heart. He can use thorns. He can use the wayside thing. He can use the stones. He can use these three methods to steal the word of God from you. And at the end of the day, you're not bearing fruit. And the word of God is your victory. So when you come prepared and pray all the time that the Lord will help you, don't stay up all night watching Nigerian movies or doing other stuff. Prepare yourself to come back, to come tomorrow morning so you can get the gist of what God is telling you for that day. Prepare your heart with prayer. Meditate on the word of God. Come prepared. Don't come here being offended, taking a dislike at the preacher or your teacher or whosoever the word of God is coming from. Come with an open heart, a teachable spirit, and receive this word of God. And the word of God will take root. It will germinate. It will take root. And it will bear fruit in abundance. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Shall we pray?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.